Praise the Lord.
You know, I was having a conversation with Jean yesterday, and she was talking about how much she loved that song, and it got me thinking, you know, we haven't done that one in a while. We should sing it, because our God truly is great. There is none greater. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Bibles now, and what we're going to do this week is we're going to continue that short series we started a couple of weeks ago. This is going to be If Part 3. I believe this will be the conclusion of the series, in case you're wondering. Lord willing, you know, sometimes things change, but I think this will be the conclusion of it. We've looked at some very important ifs in Scripture, and I'm sure that if you look for them, if you read the Word of God and look for those ifs, you're going to find them all over the place. Ifs are very important. If. The ifs we're going to be looking at, they refer to conditions, requirements, or stipulations. And there are conditions, requirements, and stipulations for God's people. You know, you don't get to just be a Christian because you say you're a Christian. There are conditions. There are requirements. There are stipulations. And today what we're going to look at are some of the ifs that were presented by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus speaks, of course the ifs in the Bible are important, but when Jesus speaks, those are especially important because he is our Savior. So yes, we need to pay special attention to those ifs. We're going to be starting in John chapter 8 to begin with, and I know we were just in this chapter about a month ago. We covered a lot of it, so we're not going to do the whole thing today, but we are going to do a portion of chapter 8 in the book of John, which really focuses on some extremely important ifs. In fact, the if that we're going to read about is the key to salvation. So I dare say it's very important. But before we read even one verse, let's pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy holy book. We thank thee for this precious word. We thank thee for these scriptures from which we can learn of thee and thy power and thy might and all that thou hast done. We marvel in awe of thee, for there is none like unto thee. There is none greater than thee, O God. We pray, Lord, that thou would move upon our hearts and our minds as we look upon thy precious book. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us to reach out to thee in faith and to be firmly focused on thee. Let there be no hindrances here. Let there be no distractions. But we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign and there is none greater than thee. There is no name greater than that almighty name of Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Now, there are some important ifs in John chapter 8. And the reason these ifs are so important is because the very first thing you must know before you can receive salvation of the Lord is you must know who Jesus Christ is. Of course, we know. The scriptures tell us that he is God manifest in the flesh. God put on a body. He came in a form that we as human beings could understand and comprehend. You know, before he came, there were a lot of people who didn't really know the Lord even in the nation of Israel. Of course, they fell into a lot of trouble, but God would usually speak through a special person, usually a prophet, and people would go to the prophet instead of going directly to God. Now we have the privilege of going directly to God because Jesus came as the mediator between God and man, the go-between, and really what he was doing was introducing mankind to God. But there are some very important ifs. Now people might think they're good. They might even think they're righteous. They might think they're okay. They might think that they have a lot to look forward to in the afterlife. But all of that is contingent upon knowing who Jesus Christ is, which is why we are going to look at John chapter 8 right now and begin with verse 21. John 8:21 tells us, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." A lot of these people marveled at the things Jesus did. They marveled at the things he said. They marveled at his miracles. They knew there was something different about him, and some would say that he was a prophet. But few had the perception and the discernment to understand that he was and is today still the Messiah. Yes, he had a plan. He always had a plan. He came, and a time was coming when he was going to leave this earth again. But when he left the earth again, he was going to send his spirit back for us. In fact, he tells us in scriptures that he had to leave so that he could send his spirit to us, which now dwells inside us. And that's something we're going to be looking at too in a little while. So he's telling them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Why couldn't they go where he was going? Because there's something that prohibits people from going where Jesus went, and that is sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. As long as you have sin in your life that has not been washed in the blood, you can never enter there. But if your sins are washed away, you gain access and entry to heaven. Verse 22, "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come." And as I mentioned a month ago when we were in this chapter, they would have loved it if he had killed himself, because they believed that if you killed yourself, you had no chance of redemption whatsoever, and you were condemned to hell. And these people, a lot of these people, hated Jesus Christ, so they would have loved to have seen that. But we know that he's the one who opened a doorway to us for heaven. And you can't get in without the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of these Jews, they thought they were okay. They thought if we do all the right things, if we follow the law, that will get us there. But what really gets us there is Jesus Christ. Verse 23, "And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world." You know, that's why they had such a hard time really understanding what Jesus was telling them quite often. It's because they had a carnal mentality. They were very worldly. But Jesus was not from this world. He came to this world to save us. Verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins." Watch this now. "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That is an important if. In fact, I dare say that's the most important if in Scripture. Because you have to know who Jesus Christ is. You have to be aware of the fact that he is the great I am. And that is what he is saying here. "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Before your sins can ever be taken away, you have to know that Jesus Christ is the I am. Verse 25, "Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." You know, when that flesh spoke, it wasn't just a man speaking. Those were the very words of God. Remember, God dwelled inside that body. Verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You know, after they crucified Jesus, some amazing things happened. Yes, he gave up the ghost on that cross. He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he also said the words, it is finished. He said, it is finished. But then some really amazing things happened. There was an earthquake. Rocks were ripped to pieces. Graves were opened. And there was a preview of the ultimate resurrection that day, when graves were opened and these people who had been dead were out there walking around. In fact, when all of this happened, there was a centurion at the cross. And when he saw all these things happening, his words that he spoke were, truly, this was the Son of God. People knew at that moment, and I think a lot of them realized at that moment, they should not have crucified him. But Jesus knew that they would. Nothing came as a surprise to him, and ultimately, it was all part of the plan of salvation for you and for me and for all who would believe. Oh, yes, they were going to realize that he was not just a man. Of course, they still didn't want to admit it, especially the religious Pharisees. Jesus rose from that grave that they put him in. He disappeared. They couldn't find him. So they came up with some hokey story saying that his disciples stole him away, even though that would have been impossible, judging by the size of the enormous rock placed in front of that tomb. Not only that, you had Caesar's seal on it, and that seal was broken, because although people would be terrified to break Caesar's seal, the angel of God had no qualms about it whatsoever. And all of these people in positions of authority, even today, God's not scared of them. The angels of God aren't scared of them, and you shouldn't be scared of them either. Praise the Lord. So yes, he's telling them in verse 28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Yes, he came to fulfill the plan. And he did fulfill that plan perfectly. Everything he did, every word he spoke, every action he took, every person he healed, every life he touched, was preordained.
Praise our God. Amen.
Verse 30, and he, as he spake these words, many believed on him. That's a wonderful when people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something we all need to do. But they needed to do more than just believe. Verse 31 tells us, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We see another if there. People today, they like to identify as Christians, don't they? Sometimes. But that's the mentality of people nowadays. They want to identify as anything they claim that they want to be. You know, they say, well, you can be whatever gender you want to be. You can be whatever race you want to be. You can, you know, identify as a Christian if you want, with no stipulations. And people say they're a Christian, and by some people's reckoning, they think that's what makes them a Christian. But there are conditions. There are requirements. There are stipulations. We're seeing one of them right here. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will continue in his word. You can read Genesis through Revelation. You can read all 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New Testament. But you're not done. As long as we're on this earth, we're not done reading this book because we have to continue in his word. Why? Because we are supposed to be disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people want to say they're Christians, but not very many people want to be disciples. Because you know what a disciple is? A disciple is someone who is under discipline of whoever they are a disciple of. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are under his discipline, you are under his leadership, you are under his authority, and as such, you are obligated to obey his commandments. People want to say they're Christians, but they don't want to be disciples. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People like freedom. And of course, in this country, we've had a measure of freedom for a long time, but there's not as much of that freedom nowadays, is there? In fact, just recently, and I wrote about this in the newest newsletter, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, recently said that if you want your freedom, you have to get the vaccine. That's a startling admission, isn't it? Because think about this. If he says if you want your freedom, you have to get the vaccine, he is admitting that people in this country are not free right now. And he's not the only person who has said similar things. People love their freedom, but we see how easily that can be taken away in this pandemic age that we are living in, which it seems like might never end. The way it's dragging on, you might wonder, when is this going to be over with? Well, who knows? But if you really want to be free, there's a way you can be free. And it's not a nationalistic freedom we're talking about here either. This is a spiritual freedom. The way you can be free is by being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to continue in his word. And in this book, you will read what needs to be done. You will find his teachings. You will find his guidance. You will find his parables. You will find his commands. Yes, Jesus has some. Verse 33 tells us, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know, you could almost picture Americans nowadays saying, well, we're Americans. How are you going to tell us we're going to be free? We're already free. They're not really, but people tend to think that. And at every sporting event, they sing the national anthem, land of the free, home of the brave. Well, it's certainly not as free as it once was. Oh, if you want to be made free, you have to get that freedom from Jesus Christ. But how do you get that? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. People might walk around thinking they're free, but if you have sin in your life, you are not free. Because whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's quite a thought when you really ponder it. If you're the servant of sin, then that means sin is leading you. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's a big if too, isn't it? What does he make you free from? Sin. He takes those sins away when he washes them in his very blood. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If you really want freedom, look to the Lamb of God, for he alone is able to save you.
Amen.
These are some important ifs we see here in John chapter 8. And now we are going to turn to John chapter 13. Remember how I was just saying Jesus had some commands for his people? Let's look at one of them right now in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 33 tells us, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." They couldn't go where he was going just yet, but we know for the Christian people, ultimately that is our destination. And we know that now when we pass from this life to the next, we go to be in his presence. But they couldn't quite follow him right away. They are there now, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you." If Jesus gives a commandment, we should pay attention to it. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." You know, loving one another in the kingdom of God is not an optional thing. It's actually a requirement. It's a command. Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." We were just talking about that, weren't we? If we are his disciples, there's a way we must behave. We must love one another. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's very important. We are actually commanded here by the Lord Jesus Christ to love our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, just as he loves us. But we also need to love our Savior. And so we're now going to look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1, and this is a good verse for the period of time we're living in right now. Verse 1 tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." A lot of times, especially nowadays, people's hearts are troubled. People are troubled by the things they're seeing, the things they're experiencing, the hopelessness they feel. But Jesus here is telling us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And people get a little confused about that sometimes. They think we're going to live in big, enormous, ornate, opulent houses in heaven. But what those mansions are really referring to are the glorified bodies that we are going to receive. When you stop and think about it, how can there be mansions in a house? It's because those mansions he's talking about are our glorified bodies that we will receive. Right now, these bodies that we're wearing, they are the abode of our spirits, of our souls. They are houses. But when we get to heaven, it is going to be such an upgrade that they will be mansions in comparison to the bodies we have now. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, Jesus Christ, after he left this earth, he sent his spirit back for us. He talks about that in his chapter 2. But we also know that one day, one fine day, he's coming for all of his people. When that harvest is complete, when that harvest is ready, he is coming to gather all of his people to glory. Yes, he's coming with clouds, as it says in the book of Revelation. But those clouds spoken of in the book of Revelation are a cloud of witnesses, because when he comes back, he is bringing all who have gone on to be with the Lord with him. And then when we are caught up at the last trump, that's going to be the only catching away, and that's at the end of the world. When that happens, the show is over. It's all done. When that happens, we will be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, he went to prepare that place. He's making it for us right now. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, for a long time in this world, they've used something called maps to get around, to navigate. And that's been very common for a long time. If you go on a road trip, you pull out a map. Nowadays, people sometimes use GPS receivers in their car, which help people find their way. And nowadays, even the GPS receivers have fallen somewhat out of favor because people like to use their smartphones for navigation. So you have all of these devices. Well, think of Jesus Christ as your roadmap to eternity, as your roadmap to heaven. If you want to make sure you're going the right way, follow Jesus Christ. That's how you can be sure. Yes, we're all on a road. You're either on the straight and narrow, or you're on the wide way that leads to destruction. And either way, the roads are full of hazards in this world. But it is a road to eternity. Everyone right now is on their way to eternity. But if you want to make sure you're going the right way, you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, amen.
What is the way referring to? Well, he really answers it right here, the way to truth and the way to life. Eternal life. He is the way. He is the door. He is the entrance point. No one gets in without Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. How do you see the Father? There's only one way. You have to see Jesus Christ. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? The image of the invisible God was standing right before them. There's no other image. Jesus Christ is it. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be three thrones with the Father, the Son, and a dove flapping around. There's going to be one throne. In fact, even the book of Revelation tells us that. There's one throne. And you know who's sitting on it? Jesus Christ. Because he is the image of the invisible God. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's actually telling us right here that God was dwelling inside that body, but the Father that dwelleth in me. God was in that body. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You know, when people saw all those things he was doing, it had to make them think. A few people understood, but not enough. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How does that work? How could there be greater works coming? Because he was going to send his Spirit back for us. He was going to give us that gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is how we are led. That is how you follow Jesus Christ, by the way. Let his Spirit lead you, guide you, direct you. That Spirit of God can teach you. It can remind you of scriptures. It can give you words to speak. It can give you thoughts to think. It can give you wisdom that you otherwise would not have. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Of course, that we need to understand, that's if you are within the will of God. If you ask the Lord for a Rolls Royce in the name of Jesus, you might not get that. In fact, you probably won't, because God doesn't like greed, and he doesn't like foolish requests. But if you are in the will of God, you are not going to ask anything that would be outside of his will if you really, truly are serving God with a whole heart, and if you love him with all your heart, soul, and your mind. You're not going to ask for stupid things. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now this verse, verse 15, is a very, very crucial and important verse with a very crucial and important if. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Like I said, a lot of people want to say they're Christians. They want to identify as Christians. But if you love Jesus, you have to keep his commandments. Remember, if refers to conditions, requirements, or stipulations. And that is how we show our love for the Savior, by keeping his commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What does it say, another comforter? People might ask sometimes. Well, because it's referring to Jesus Christ in another form. In a spiritual form instead of a bodily form standing before them. Verse 17, if even the Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Remember, he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. If Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth, then that has to be the Spirit of Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You understand? You see how that works? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. Oh, he was with them. He was in their presence. He was standing before them. But now, he dwells inside us. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In that verse, verse 18, he's identifying the comforter that he was speaking of. He says, I will come to you. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Yes, he came to make us alive. He came to stir our souls. And he came to save our souls. That should be exciting to each and every one of us, that we can be redeemed, that we can follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have his Spirit dwelling inside us. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know, there's a progression here from the scriptures we've looked at. What did Jesus say? If ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. You need to do that. And he also said that we need to love one another. But this chapter tells us, as the progression continues, that if we love him, we must keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, the next step in that progression is he gives us his Spirit, which dwells inside us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. There was more than one Judas. In fact, it was a very common name. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that Jesus would be with his people, with his disciples, something that holds true even to this day, I should mention? How is it that he can manifest himself to his people, but the rest of the world is oblivious to it? It's because it's the Spirit of God dwelling inside you, the Holy Ghost. That's how he manifests himself to his people. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, here we see another if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Remember, he had said previously, we just read that in John chapter 8, that we had to continue in his word, and now he's saying that we have to keep his words. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If someone claims to love the Lord Jesus, but they don't love his word, they're lying to you. People who love Jesus Christ are going to love his word. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's an interesting verse too, because if the Comforter is sent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the name of the Comforter? What's the name of the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, the world can't give you peace. They might try. How long has the United Nations been around now? Is there peace in this world? No, there's still fightings and skirmishes and wars all over the place. They never stop. There's continually wars and rumors of wars. People are mean, nasty to each other, hating one another. We're seeing more of that. There's violence in the streets. You know, it's a sad thing that every year around the 4th of July down in Chicago, there's so many shootings. Ridiculous amounts of shootings. It would be tragic if there was even one. But I believe this year there was over 100 of them. Just the 4th of July weekend. And every holiday is like that in Chicago. Don't they have any better ways to celebrate a holiday? But it's not just Chicago, it's all of the large cities. Baltimore is especially terrible. And you wouldn't want to go to Oakland, California. Of course, that's been a violent town for a long time. I've been there and I walked around there and thankfully the Lord kept me. It probably wasn't the smartest thing I've ever done, walking around in Oakland, California, but I made it through. Nevertheless, you've got to be very careful where you go. It is a risk. New York City, of course, has gotten much, much worse as well. There's no peace in this world. And they're never going to have true, genuine peace in this world as long as sin is in this world. And the only way there wouldn't be sin in this world is if everybody repented. If everybody repented, then you would have peace. But since that's not going to happen, you have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for your peace. And he becomes our peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a good verse to lay hold on. Because a lot of people are afraid right now. You know, a lot of people, they have guns stored up, a lot of guns, and some people have even said, well, if they come to try and vaccinate me, I'm going to get out my gun, and, you know. We can't act out of fear. You know, in this country, we do have what's called a Second Amendment right. If you want to buy a gun or several guns, how many ever guns you want to buy, I don't have a problem with that. But have no delusions in your mind. You, with your little pea shooters, are not going to overthrow this massive system that they are installing. If you want to keep a gun for self-defense or hunting or whatever the case may be, you have every right to do so. I have no problem with it. But if you think you're going to take on this beast system that's rising up with your guns, it's going to fail miserably. What's going to defeat that whole system is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to do it ourselves. And we're not going to do it with carnal weapons. Nevertheless, we don't have to be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And we need to remember that that Spirit of God dwelling inside Jesus Christ was greater than that flesh, that human body. We need to understand the Father dwelt in him, but that flesh, that humanity, that was the Son of God. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. Well, that's interesting too, the prince of this world. And that's not a good prince either, that's talking about the devil. The devil has a stranglehold on a lot of people, but that doesn't have to be you. You can be free today. You can be free from your sins. And when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he will give you his Spirit. And if you love him, if you really love him, keep his commandments. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Oh yes, those are some important ifs. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I want to look now at Matthew chapter 16 for a few verses. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus here is going to instruct us. He's going to tell us to do something that almost nobody wants to do. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Nobody wants to do that anymore in this world, it seems, except for the Christian people. But by and large, the attitudes of people are I need to follow my heart. I need to have a self-fulfilled life. I need to be whatever I want to be. And they say I can be whatever I want to be, and I can do whatever I want to do. People do not want to deny themselves. But if you want to truly follow Jesus Christ, you have to surrender your mind, your will, your emotions to the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't want to do that. But if we're going to follow him, it is a requirement. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is worth it. Completely worth it, 100%, to lay aside every hindrance and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to surrender our will. We need to surrender our minds and our emotions to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to seek his plan for us in our lives. People have a lot of things that they want to do. And some people will do whatever it takes to get those things accomplished. You've got some of these very, very wealthy people who have accrued billions of dollars who are shooting themselves up into space because they have such a strong desire to get up there. And anything that they have a whim to do, they do it. These people have no desire to deny themselves. But it's something that we all must do if we are going to follow Jesus Christ, if we are going to be his disciples. If you really want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him what he wants you to do. Don't just do the things that you want to do, but ask him what he wants you to do. And if you do that, there's something wonderful waiting for you. Revelation chapter 3, let's turn there in closing. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, and we're going to find another if here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is still calling today. He's still knocking. There's still an opportunity to go through that door that leads to salvation. Yes, we still have an opportunity to come to the Lord. If any man hear my voice. Can you hear his voice today? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Yes, if we will open the doors of our heart and go through his door of salvation, we will overcome this world. Yes, thank you. And the way to do that, we must continue in His Word. We must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must love the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart, soul, and mind. And we must keep His commandments. If you do all of those things, one fine day, you will stand before Him in glory. You will bend the knee to Him in glory. And He will give you those precious words that we all long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer this day, thanking Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can come to Thee, that we can be saved, that we can follow Thee. Help us, O God, to deny ourselves, but embrace Thee and Thy will. Help us to surrender our wills to Thee, to be obedient to the prompting of Thy Spirit and all that Thou would have us to do. We pray, Lord, that Thou would use Thy people mightily, that Thou would walk with us each and every day, that Thou would lead, guide, and direct us in each and everything we do. We pray, Lord, that Thou would guard our hearts and guard our minds, for we know that we live in a wicked world filled to the brim, even as evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. But we know that Thou hast given us peace, for we have Thy Spirit. And when we have Thy Spirit, we have peace far greater than any peace this world could ever offer. So we pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to embrace Thy Word, to embrace Thy Spirit, to embrace Thy peace. And we ask, Lord, that Thy Word and Thy will would be precious in our sight. Bless Thy people, we pray, all who are here and all who are listening online, all who are scattered abroad all over this world who belong to Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless Thy people and strengthen Thy people. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's sing number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Right beside me, keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, glory to God. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.